वेलकम बैक आवाज की दुनिया के दोस्तों सुन रहे हैं आप रेडियो संगम 107.9 एफएम और इस वक्त हुआ चाहता है 1:17 और हमारे साथ मेहमान मौजूद हैं फरजाना अहमद साहब है जो कि पुलिस फोर्स में है और इनसे हम इनकी कहानी पूछते हैं इनसे आज के किस तरह से इन्होंने पुलिस फोर्स ज्वाइन की break se pehle jahan se inse saath chuta tha wahin se Saj over to you
yes thank you very much thank and welcome back after the short break advertisement jo zaruri hai ek majboori hai we have to have them and we have the news as well so we hope you're all updated with what's going on around the world duniya mein kya kya ho raha hai and we're going to go back now to our guest we have Fizana Ahmed who was in the police and she was telling us her story we'd like to continue with that so if we can go back Fizana to 1990 which is what 33 years ago and when you first joined the police tell us a little bit about your experience when you first joined the police how was that the obstacles you faced from maybe the community and the police as well how was it for you
So I joined in September, 17th of September 1990. That was my first day. And Beladin, in the training school, I was the only APNA, the only person of colour in this big cohort of people at Wakefield. And, yeah, I didn't look at the colour. I was just, like, looking round just to see how many people there were. The journey itself was really quite interesting. I met so many people from different backgrounds, but nobody from my background, so a Muslim female background. So I couldn't really relate to anybody. It was mushkil, you know. It was difficult because sometimes through the day you wanted to have a chat with somebody about something that you could relate to because mum had said something or she'd made some food or... And I couldn't really share that with anybody else because there was nobody in that room who...
Of a similar background.
A similar background. So the challenges were difficult and I have to say, and I think it's fair to say, that the people as well who I worked with weren't used to having a brown woman around who was confident, who wasn't shy about asking questions.
How did you find it fitting in then to the team, to this new group of people that you've just joined, the police force? Did you find it fitting in? Did you have to make a lot of effort yourself? Did the police make any effort to help you fit in or make you feel comfortable? How did you find that?
It was 1919. It was a very difficult time. In the question about fitting in is that, you know, I had to be very westernised in my approach. It wasn't, you know, I couldn't go to Camden, but, you know, I couldn't wear shalwar kameez. I didn't really wear a scarf at all. And I really changed my identity to make sure I could mix in without too many questions. Although when it was Ramadan, you know, yeah. I did keep some of the fast. I couldn't keep all of the fast. Questions about why I'm fasting, that was quite difficult, really, because...
We still get that. You're 60 years
later.
We still get that.
So
that hasn't changed.
That hasn't changed, no.
No, no.
But when I first joined, I wore a skirt, and my dad was very unhappy because he wanted... Yeah. He was like, Bendrik, you know, why can't I wear a trousers? Yeah.
But in 1990, even wearing trousers for an Asian woman was a big deal because, from what I remember, I was young then. I remember Asian women still wearing shalwar kameez, desi clothes. Wearing Western clothes was still quite a big jump.
It was, and I wore a shirt and a tie and a skirt. The uniform changed a couple of years later, so we were allowed to wear trousers, and obviously it was much more comfortable wearing trousers to do the job that I did. But yeah, the challenges were, I think, quite enormous, really. I was only 22, and I think for me, quite a lot of the time, you know, when people were asking, colleagues were asking questions about my background or just asking questions generally, it was quite overwhelming, to be honest with you. But the best thing for me was the response I got from the community. They was like, oh, wow.
Oh, good.
So there was almost a double take when I used to go anywhere. I remember being in a police van very early on, and when I passed my police van test, and I was taking along a colleague who was more experienced, and I was driving the van, and we were responding to a disturbance, a fight. And when we got out, I think the guys just looked when they saw me get out of the van. You know, you can see I'm not particularly big, but they got out of the van. Yeah. It was like, well, they almost stopped what they were doing, and it was like, okay, guys, what's happening here? Let's just, you know.
So that was the uniform that
did all the
impact.
Talking.
Yeah. It was the uniform that did the talking. But I think being Apnea as well, they think, well, this is interesting. We haven't seen an Apnea in a birdie just coming here to try to sort of, you know, calm everything. So that was quite interesting. So, yeah, there were, I would have to say, you know, it was swings and roundabouts in the job. But for me, it was about my faith, my deen being Muslim taught me to just do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so being a police officer, I think, ticks so many boxes, you know. And that's why I'm saying to people listening today, you know, especially girls, if they want a career, this is a career that I think for me launched me as a person in many ways.
Yeah, I think in 2023 now, any youngster, young people today wanting to choose their own career path, I think it's a lot easier now because we're on maybe third and fourth generation now, so it's a lot easier. It's different. But I think if there's any young girls, boys, girls, whatever, thinking about joining the police or maybe choosing a career that's not the typical engineer, lawyer, doctor, whatever.
Accountant.
Yeah.
Doctor.
Doctor,
Hannah. What kind of... could you give some words of encouragement?
Absolutely, Hannah. So I was 19 when I first really looked at that application to join the police. And it took me 14 months from signing the piece of paper and posting it to actually receiving the acceptance. So it was still a long process. And I would say, for anybody who wants to do this job, is follow your dream, because only you will know whether that job is right for you, nobody else. And I have to say, I loved my job.
Was there any time while you were working for the police, was there any moment, any time where you felt like this is not for you, or you regretted your choice?
It wasn't. There were times when I felt particularly low by various things that were going on internally that made me quite down and made me ready to throw the dolia in and say, you know, bas me e kam nikar sakdi anymore. And I wanted to realise, actually, I had to take a step back and think, you know, why do I want to do this job? Because I want to help people. So I had to think about and have a word with myself and realise, "Main ek kaam karna because I want to help other people." So that for me was the game changer and the driver, not to throw the towel in, because it's quite easy to throw the towel in. And it was, honestly, at times very stressful, very challenging. And I cried so many times. But it's worth it.
It makes you more stronger.
Angie, it makes you more stronger. It makes you realise, actually, that, you know, I'm grateful that I was determined myself, you know, to carry on and do this. And do you know what? I didn't want to lose face either with my parents, because daddy can bilkul nahi kar sakte, you know, because logi kahunga, you know, what's the community going to say? And it was the big pressure of not just my parents on my shoulder, it was the community, Hannah, and it was like, what they're going to say.
It's so, always the case,
lokyaking is such a dream killer, isn't it?
And it's that bestie and it's the sherm that comes with that. And I went, daddy, you know, it's not about that, you know, I'm not going to do anything wrong. And he was just, I think, scared that, you know, I was going to be sort of subject to racism and sexism and various other bits
abusive
and pieces,
abusive words or anything.
But I think he has to realise that I'm his daughter. And, you know, we're made of stronger stuff.
Yeah.
You are strong, Mashana.
Was there any point while working for the police? Because there's it's talked about a lot. And one of the things that people from minorities, ethnic minorities, don't join the police is this fear of racism. Did you experience anything like that? Maybe from while you were out on the beat, if I can say that, while you were out working or within the police force itself as well?
If it was difficult, there were challenging times from both sides. Yes, from the community as well. and internally there were some challenges that I had to deal with, but I dealt with them privately, alone, didn't share them. And I think for me, that's probably caused quite a lot of issues, like with my mental health, because I was having to deal and challenge and navigate areas of my life that I didn't have any experience about. And it was bad, you know, it was very difficult. But I try to focus me as an individual, as somebody who likes to think positively, because when I did a good job, you know, the letters came in, people thanked me, and that for me was like, you know,
the best reward.
The best reward. Yeah, the best reward.
Of course. I remember a big turning point for police and community relations was the Stephen Lawrence case, you know, in London. I don't know if you remember that. There was a big investigation, and I think what I've seen in the last 30 years, there's been many investigations into racism in the police. There's been a lot of investigations and efforts to make a change, especially with discrimination. Do you think there has been changes in the last 30 years, and is the police force now ready and prepared to take on people, more and more people? I know there is a big recruitment drive, but do you think the police force is ready to take on people from ethnic minorities, and is it the right choice?
The police are they're always recruiting, but I just need to emphasise what's really important, and it's something I said to you before I came in. It's making sure that the police that come in and serve the communities is the right police officer, not because they are somebody who ticks a box and they have... Because I know, I've done that job for 30 years, that you have to have so many qualities. So many qualities that come with that. And it's not just something because your colour of the skin
fits... Filling the quota, yeah.
Yeah, it's important. And I think through the years, the recruitment side has gotten better, and I do think a lot of the education needs to come from within the communities, and the communities need to recognise that actually this is a real career path. This is somebody here, Fazana, 30 years, you know, it was just somebody who's just got on and done the job. And the thing is as well, with the job, with the actual job itself, it is very, very rewarding. I didn't do the job for bare say for money. I did it because it was like for my deen. It was also because it was for me the right thing to do to help people. And I learned so much about life, about people. You know, it was incredible. I feel blessed to have had the career that I've had.
Wow, yeah.
But it's not for everybody's cup of tea. We received a message from Majid Huddersfield. He said, "Salam, very inspirational story. I joined police force in Sheffield. I saw every eye looking at me. Left fellow officers were not happy me being in the force. So I started my own business. It was the right choice."
Mashallah, that's good that he's managed to, yes, you know, turn things for his benefit. But yeah, I understand completely and utterly what he's saying. And I've had years and years of people being and looking at me, you know. So yeah, it's... Yeah.
I don't know anything about police. Police ke andar... कौन सी जॉब आपकी होती है लाइक वी सी द पुलिस पेट्रोलिंग ऑन द रोड साइड ऑन डिफरेंट प्लेसेस इन द शॉप्स समटाइम्स
या सो अदर देन अ पुलिस ऑफिसर
सो व्हाट यू कवर सो व्हाट इज योर टाइटल एंड
सो आई डिड लॉट्स ऑफ डिफरेंट थिंग्स विद इन द डिफरेंट रोल्स विद इन द पुलिस सो वन सो माय लास्ट जॉब वाज अ वुमेन्स एंगेजमेंट ऑफिसर इन ब्रैडफोर्ड विद अ टीम कॉल्ड द स्ट्रॉन्गर कम्युनिटीज टीम सो ए My job was working with Aurat, with the ladies of the community, and having conversations with them and helping them how to report crime. And that was so interesting, especially around domestic violence. And so they understood what domestic violence was as a crime, because our communities, diverse communities, struggle, I think, sometimes to report crime to the police, and I wanted to make sure that crime was reported, and it was also they got the good service as well, so it came hand in hand.
I think sometimes we even fail to recognise or identify a crime as well.
Completely.
So like domestic violence, is it it's just you know,
a husband and wife just arguing,
it's just a domestic issue, or kya hua kuch bhi nahi, bas no, it is a crime.
If any
violence, or if you attack,
physical assault, exactly,
it is a crime. And I think sometimes it is difficult for us to identify that as a crime.
Did you see a lot of
domestic violence and violent crimes pushed aside or brushed under the carpet?
Well, when I first started to reach out into Asian communities, because I can speak Punjabi, going to various houses to be able to say, you know, it's not right, it's a crime, and these are the helplines, these are the support numbers, especially to women privately in Punjabi. It was really a game changer for these women, that here she is, an Apni lady, Bardi Bakina, Sadinal Gala Gardia, about these things that they could never have spoken about. And so for me, ever so gently working in communities, because I worked around Hyde Park in Leeds, which had quite a strong Muslim, Indian sort of demographic in there, was great, because it was great to have those conversations with people about crime. And people recognised me from the community, and they used to say, you know, can you help us? And it was great, because I was doing something else, but to ask for my help about something, because a lady had said that this lady here, Fazana, has helped me. It's just like, wow, you know, word gets out.
Yeah. It is. I just want to say, did you have a connection with the, like, social services when they come out to see that person as a domestic violence? Because I know somebody, close friend of mine, she works for that, and she said, oh, it's so difficult when it comes to the police, because they involve as well, they need to report first, and then the police come, and
social services were a department, Henna, that we sort of connected with. One of the other jobs that I did in the police was a safer schools officer, so I used to be responsible for going into 5 different secondary schools in Bradford, wearing the uniform, getting to know the young people. Mm-hmm. And the role was about confidence, and it was also about making sure that the young people, should they have any issues, they could, you know, contact me. And because I was seen regularly, you know, the lads used to say, you know, oh, come on, Fazana, you know, let's play football, or sit down and have carnabina with us.
And it became really comfortable with you.
Became comfortable, yeah. Even though I had, like, my stab vest on, my baton, my handcuffs, my gas. I had all my equipment on. Just seeing me, the uniform became secondary, which is what I wanted, you know. the social services, people like educational social workers who I used to work with as well. You know, the relationship, yeah, it's there, but we all have to work in our separate buildings. But it's important to have those relationships with other professionals, because we want the same outcome for everybody who we work with, and that's making sure they're safe.
In your experience, what did you find were the biggest objections for people from minority communities joining the police?
I think for me, the biggest misunderstandings were that they didn't really understand the job that we did, why we did it, and it felt as if that lack of education in those diverse communities prevented people from, you know, coming forward to join us. But now we have recruitment fairs, because in the last few years of my service, I was actively involved in, you know, speaking to people about the job that I did, and why I did it. Because sometimes people don't understand why the police do certain things, and it needs a police officer with experience to explain, well, this is why we have to do this particular job, or this is the reason why we have to follow this particular policy. And that, you know, it helps people understand, because most people get their education now from social media, from TikTok, or from sound bites, which is, again, not accurate. It's not safe, because social media just has one small part of it. You need to have the whole picture to understand why the police do this. But I would say, Hannah, if there's a boy, a girl, or even somebody who is in their 30s and 40s, Hannah, who wants to think, you know, medical, but, you know, Doba Chehegin, I want to still join the police, I would say just do it. Put the application form in and just do it.
There you go, Saj.
Just do it,
Saj.
Your
options are open now. You said it.
He can join. Yeah. Remember, you know, the skills and the qualities are honesty, professionalism, integrity. These are kind of key factors that are really important in being a police officer. I don't have a degree. Today, there's a requirement to have a degree. So I feel blessed that I've done a job for 30 years where I've helped so many people from different backgrounds. And, you know, I went to the palace, you know, I got recognised for my work.
Yeah.
I went to Buckingham Palace and I got my Queen's Police Medal from Prince William.
So let's talk about that because that was the...
for me, need to rub the shoulders.
Yeah. That was for me, I was... one of the things that I was so proud of was seeing somebody, an Asian woman, receive the Queen's Police Medal.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? What is that? Who receives it? And what's it about? What's it rewarded for?
Yeah. Next will be the King Charles she's going to meet.
Well, yeah, I've actually met King Charles, but I was he came to Bradford actually on a walkabout, and I met him. It was quite nice actually.
So it's actually changed. So it was the King's.
It was Queen
because then it went to Queen. Then now it's back to King again, right?
No, it's been the Queen's Police Medal for a long time because obviously the Queen was our head of state. But now, obviously, it's Prince Charles. King Charles, who's the head of the royal family now. So it's now the KPM, which is the King's Police Medal.
But the award is the same.
It's the same, yeah. So it happened. I had no idea this was coming my way. It's a complete and utter secret, and it was under wraps. And then in October, I received a phone call saying, had I received any communication at home? And I said, from who? What? And this was quite bizarre, and I hadn't. And then I found out that, it was quite amazing, that it was announced in the... It's a gazette that's in London that it's announced of everybody who has received...
Is it an official police gazette?
No, it's everybody. Everybody who's got like an OBE, a knighthood or everything. And I was in that. And so on the 19th of November 2019, 19-11-19, never forget that day.
Yeah.
It's like the birth to one of my children. I went to the palace to receive the Queen's Police Medal with my mum. Now, this is my mum who... loves the royal family.
Yeah.
So for her to be at Buckingham Palace on the front row with my husband, with my three kids, was just amazing. And Prince William, who she loved because she loved Diana. So, you know, everybody loved Diana.
Yeah.
To see, like, Diana, you know, Diana put the... He's there. Diana's son is there giving me the medal. It was just, like, everything for her that she wanted her daughter to achieve. You know, it was a massive, massive achievement to see that.
So after all these years and all the battles that you went through with the family, with community, with working in the police as well, it all sort of came to this point, didn't it? This is what you...
Completely.
Not that you were asking for the recognition, but to receive that recognition is... It kind of...
Completely. And you know, the recognition doesn't just come sort of internally, it's other people as well.
Yeah.
And I honestly had no idea that this was going to happen. And so when it was announced, within with Josh, I had so many compliments and so many, you know, likes. And I had a Twitter handle at that time, and it was incredible that the number of people who thanked me for that, you know, thanked me for work, thanked me for helping them. You know,
I remember
when you came to my house and we got broken into. Do you remember that time that you helped me with my daughter? And it was just like all these little stories that came back, and people remember.
Yeah.
So it's important to make that first impression. I say to my children, you know, you never get a second chance to make a first impression, and I always say that to my children. And that's kind of me for that sort of message that I've had throughout my career is you never get a second chance to make a first impression, so do it right.
And another thing is probably those stories you tackle every day and that they're kind of a routine work for you. But for those people, it is kind of an end of the world when you come and help them and get them out of that situation. That is amazing.
Out of a problem or situation.
Exactly.
Course,
You know, for them, you know, the circumstances were so mushy, it was so challenging, and they were alone. But when you have somebody who suddenly enters your world that thinks, actually, this is not as hard as it can be and will be because we're going to help you, that makes such a difference.
So the Queen's Medal, is that for years of service or is it...
Distinguished service.
Or is it for something specific?
It's for distinguished service, oh, okay. Yeah. So it's great. So, you know, I've got 4 medals, so for the various jubilees and then for long service and then the Queen's Police Medal. And I do wear those medals because on Remembrance Sunday, it's, you know, it's not just about one particular community. It's all our communities who fought in those wars. So for me, it's important to remember the fact that when I wear those medals, I remember people like our communities in vast numbers, you know, who served in those difficult times in the wars, in the First and the Second World Wars as well.
Yeah. Wow. So would you say then after serving, is it about 30 years you did?
30 years, yeah.
So after 30 years of serving in the police as a police officer, would you say now today that there's more people that look like you in the police force?
Today, I would say that the recruitment has improved. Do people look like me? I'm sure there are people that look like me. Perhaps not as good as me.
But not as good looking as you.
Yorkshire Water all the way. But I think it's important to remember that it's getting the right people to do the job. And that's making sure that they understand what policing is about, because I loved my job. I know I've said that once before, but I genuinely loved what I did. I loved helping people. And if it's the kind of job that you want to do and want to go out there and experience the various challenges, there are so many opportunities to do things within the police. So I worked in schools, I worked with women, I worked in a robbery team, I worked in a shoplifting team. I didn't steal, but I was there to stop shoplifting. Stealing, obviously.
I was in a shoplifting team.
So, yeah, it was great to be able to work in and wear different sort of clothing and have different opportunities. Mm. And I've met some amazing people. But one person I just want to single out, one police officer I want to single out, who was such a good boss, was is retired now, but is somebody called Inspector Kevin Taylor. He was my boss in my last job in Bradford, and he ran the Stronger Communities team. He was incredible on so many levels because he used to ask and gauge my opinion because he knew I was an officer that was grassroots and really well embedded with my work. Mm. And he wanted to make sure that I was there to give him the advice, and he listened to my advice and to the advice of others. And he actually said to me that the day that I retired was, Bradford won't be the same without you.
Oh, I think that's the best.
It's the value of
everybody. Yeah.
And he valued
appreciation.
Yeah, exactly. And he valued the work that I did, exactly. And I valued him as a boss. Mm. And even though sometimes we didn't always agree on things, more often than not, I felt he was somebody I could turn to and say, "Listen, boss, you just need to listen to me on this particular point." And he was very, very fair, very, very just, and he was an amazing leader. And he was by far the best leader I've ever worked with in the police. So, Inspector Kevin Taylor, thank you for being just an incredible boss. Thank you.
I hope he's listening.
Are there any other people that you'd like to thank? People that came into your life along your journey, along the way, that maybe helped you do what you were doing? And because you mentioned the librarian,
yeah,
off air, we were talking about. So anybody in your life that you feel like deserves a thank you?
So when I was researching to become a police, it was way before social media became a thing. I had to go into the library to do my research, and I used to go into the library on a Saturday morning, armed with my Lever Arch file, my A4 pad, and some books. And the librarian in the library where I used to go to, with a pile of books, she goes, "Are you wanting to join the police?" I says, "Yes." She goes,
"And that is back in 1990?
Before that, it was probably 1989, uh-huh, when I was doing the research. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, "Well, you know, I hope you join the police." So to that librarian, if you are still around today, listen to Radio Sangam, can I just thank you so much? Because not only did I do 30 years... but you helped me because you were so helpful in the library getting me all the books. So thank you so much. And also, I'd just like to thank as well some other organisations within Bradford as well. Banagora from Muslim Women's Council, I'd like to thank you and your team, because you put on an amazing do for me when I retired from the police at Carlisle Business Centre. So thank you, Banner. Thank you for everything that you do for Bradford. I'd also like to thank Sophia Bunsey as well, who's a DL.
Oh, Sophia Bunsey's from Huddersfield.
Yes, she is from, and she runs an amazing project called Muslim Women in Prison Project, which is just groundbreaking.
Yes.
Thank you, Sophia Bunsey, for just being an amazing friend and a jolly good person to be around. And lots of other people as well that have, I think, helped me along the way. Members of the community who at times knew when I was particularly down, supported me and told me to keep on going, Fazana. You've got this. You can do this.
Oh, that's great. I've got one last question for you.
Sure.
If you hadn't been a police officer, if you hadn't joined the police, or when you were a lot younger, when you were a young kid, did you dream of being anything else other than a police officer or joining the army, like you said? Was there anything else that you maybe could have been?
Maybe I should have been a prime minister. No, I'm joking. That's too much of an ask. No, I did. There was another career option that I chose at the same time as West Yorkshire Police, and that was working for British Airways as cabin crew. And I applied for both jobs at the same time, and the applications were successful. But the one that came back the first and approved was West Yorkshire Police. And actually, a week later, the British Airways one came in a week after.
So just missed you by a whisker then.
So had those roles been reversed,
today could have been a different interview.
Could have been a different
interview. We could have been asking you about what's the favourite dish on... What's the best food on a...
Destination.
On a,
or the best destination.
Or the best destination in the world.
Or the best crew member.
Yeah.
What's the easiest way to get around Europe?
Worst experience. Tell us about your worst experience in the police force.
Yeah.
It's not all good.
Yeah. Do you have a worst experience? Do you have any bad experiences that you'd like to talk about?
There are experiences that I would not want to share widely. My husband isn't from my background. I married outside of my faith. And when I did, and he knew the job that I was doing, I think he was very, very surprised. And I think shocked, I would have to say. But he has supported me enormously. But challenges, there were plenty of challenges, and I'll save perhaps some of those details for a book.
I think definitely you should definitely do a book. Have you ever arrested anybody that you know? has that ever happened? I know you. Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to put these cuffs on.
Except your children taking something from the fridge they're not supposed to.
Yeah, do you act like a police officer at home then?
To be honest with you, the two of us, like me and my hubby, I am definitely bad cop. He is good cop.
Did you wear the same uniform?
No, I don't wear the same uniform.
No, I mean attitude wise.
No, yeah, but
that attitude you take back home.
Sometimes the attitude of seriousness and that, you know, listening to me and being quite, listen to me and being quite robust in what I want the family to listen to. I think the children sometimes just literally, like me, put the headset on and say, whatever, Mum.
So you know with the kids, if they did something naughty or they were in trouble, did you use your policing interview techniques on them as well at home?
It was quite easy to get an admission out of my children when they were lying, put it that way, because I know my children.
Did you strut up and down the room with your hands behind your back? Where were you at 6:15 on the 16th of November?
I didn't quite do it like that, but I know how my children are. You get to know when your children, you know, want to embellish the truth, or they want to just perhaps tell you something that you might like to hear when you know actually that's not accurate. But policing taught me a lot of skills, and one of the things it taught me was, you know, when somebody's not being quite truthful about
honest,
things.
Yeah, we have a witness. I saw you take the chocolates from the hidden cupboard
and the biscuits.
Yeah.
Right, we have a message from the same person, Majid from Huddersfield. But he's appreciating, basically. He said, maybe I wasn't that good. And I appreciate what she got, the medal from the palace, mashallah. And Royal, yeah, honestly, this is amazing, and he's enjoying the interview.
Oh, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very much, Madhya.
Thank you, Madhya.
So I think we've coming towards the end. We have a few minutes left before we get the news again.
So you are retired now.
Yes.
So I'm actually, what do you do with your experience?
So I had a lovely little television job for 3.5 years on Steph's Packed Lunch on Channel 4. And it was amazing because mm-hmm. I got to meet some very famous people and I got to be involved in some wonderful things. But now that show has ended. I have a job. I actually work in retail. Can I say the name of the shop?
No. Yeah.
Probably not to say the name of the shop, but retail.
It's retail.
It's not just any shop.
Any shop. You've got to put the deep voice on as well.
It's not just any shop.
Retail in uniforms. Certain forces uniforms.
I think the deep voice we want in sophistication, mystery, not horror villain.
Yes. I work in a large retailer near my home, and it's not just any shop, it's a really busy shop. And I train staff, all the staff that come in for whatever job. And it's interesting because some of the people recognise me from the police and some of the people have recognised me from the telly. So it's quite nice, actually. And on the shop floor, I love being on the shop floor because it's amazing.
So you're a kind carpenter.
You're a people's person, I think.
I'm a people person through and through, completely through and through. Yeah. It's been amazing.
Well, it's been great having you today. But thank you so much for coming in.
And we don't have any medal, but we can clap.
Thank you both.
Do we not have anything, you know, the sound effects?
Yes.
I think I'm sure. Quick, put that paper to
I was going to say, no police siren, Hannah.
Our जो इस आवर का जो इंटरव्यू है हमारी फरजाना अहमद के साथ वो खत्म होने को है और इससे इनसे थोड़ा सा पूछते हैं कि कोई भी प्रोफेशन होने के साथ साथ इंसान थोड़ा सा लाइफ में जो
अपना भी कुछ पर्सनल होता है ना आपकी पर्सनालिटी होती
music, है म्यूजिक सिंगिंग प्रोबेबली डांसिंग
डू यू लाइक टू डांस आई थिंक व्हाट वी हैव सीन व्हाइल वी बीन ऑफ एयर यू बीन डांसिंग आई थिंक दैट्स द पंजाबी इन यू राइट
इट्स द पंजाबी रूट्स इन मी
आई एम द सेम यू नो my colleagues here at the radio station always laugh at me because as soon as I hear a beat my shoulders start moving my hips start moving you know it's just
yeah, 20 seconds news are coming up
what do you want in 20 seconds
to tell us about your music or, choice or do you know film any Hindi films
yeah I love when I get the opportunity and I don't watch Desi films very much but my favourite all time film is Leela Majnu
yeah.
I wanted to be Ranjita I wanted to be her and I like to listen to all kinds of music because my kids like rap they like various bits of music I like classical music I listen to anything I do like music though it helps me with my head and it makes me feel happy
great stuff.
Did you dance with the music as well?
Of course in the kitchen yeah. I'm looking nobody can see me I'm just dancing
with
while I'm making roti
with the
making with roti with who can see me who can see me making that
with the bell and a roti and a chum chum Hooray! Here we go.
Thank you so much for
thank you.
For being with us today. Thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming down. And I think, hopefully, inshallah, I think it's been of benefit for people listening out there. I hope there's a whole bunch of young girls after hearing your story, young Asian girls. Wanting to do it, and you've probably made them, push them to do it and encourage them. So hopefully, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And not too scared to do something out of the box and, different.
Yeah.
Whatever we have in our mind. So do these jobs. So it's good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.